Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
All right, let's continue by reading from the book of Romans chapter 12, from verse 6. He said, "And since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let each exercise them accordingly." He said, "If prophecy according to the proportion of his faith, if service in his serving, he who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness." Now I'm continuing the discussion on the matter of foundations and pillars of financial prosperity. We have already looked at the matter of foundations. These are things that are beneath the surface, which we cannot see. They are things that the non-discerning eyes are not specifically instructed in understanding these matters, may not be able, all right, to locate, because they are spiritual. So a man who is prospering outwardly, when we want to examine his life, will write things like, he wakes up early, he goes to bed late. Things that are in direct opposition, do you understand, with the order of God. I read the book, How to Be Rich by Paul Getty, who at the time was the richest man in the world. And one of the things he said in the book, he said, how do you become rich? He said, wake up early, go to bed late, and strike oil. I said, big mistake. Now, he thought that was what happened to him, but that was not what happened. Because many people rose up early, many people went to bed late, and they never struck oil. Do you understand that? And I know of people who did not get up from bed at all, talking about looking for oil. They were doing something else, and somebody else was looking for oil on their behalf, and the person struck oil too. So even though Paul Getty was the richest man in the world at the time, I said, I won't take your word for it. God is the creator of the universe. And he said, it is vain for a man to rise up early, to come to bed late, eating the bread of sorrows. He said, because God gives to his beloved even while he sleeps. Now, are you getting the point? And look, if you look at the whole of Paul Getty's life, we tend to remember only the fact that he was the richest man in the world. You forget that most of his children died from drug overdose and useless accidents. You forget that the man's on record has been a crazy man. The record is that the man was not mentally normal in the end of his days. We forget that one of his children said money was a curse to our family. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? We don't read those things. All we remember is that at the time he was the richest man in the world. Yes, he was also the craziest man in the world at a particular point in time. That's why the Bible says that it is vain to rise up early. Paul Getty was wrong. That's what the Bible is saying. He said, because it is the blessing of God that makes rich and doesn't add any sorrow with it. So that's what we mean when we're talking about the foundation, all right? So we're talking about the pillars, the things that are outside, and we began to look at some of them last time. Well, we began to look at the first of them, for which reason we read the book of Romans chapter 12. And I remember the last thing I ended with is for us to understand that what we are going to get in life, what we call financial prosperity, which we try to define appropriately, is not going to come necessarily directly from what you are laboring in, but that it's a reward that God gives you. If you have food to eat, the Bible says that you should be content and you should learn to give thanks. Listen, let me just say this again. If you don't thank God for the little that you have, you will never have plenty. Let me say it again. Unfaithfulness in thanksgiving, when God has given you little, is the reason why you will never go beyond that level of little. If you don't appreciate God, your life will never appreciate. You must learn to show gratitude to God at all times. Don't take anything for granted. In fact, they have a saying in my place that the man with the old cloth doesn't appreciate the value of it until a thief takes it. Then he realizes that it's possible not to have any at all. It's possible you can be there and you don't have anything to wear. People like to look and say, after all, my mates, I have better things than this. Just think for a second. Remember your mates that are dead. And remember some of them that don't have anything at all. So we must learn to give thanks to God in everything. We said that, all right? Very important. Now, I said, what we need to pursue, therefore, is a matter of faithfulness, which is the reason why I read from this Romans chapter 12. The first thing I want to say when it comes to a matter of foundation for financial prosperity is that you ask yourself a simple question. Where is my grace? That is, where is it that God has poured grace into my life? Because we read from that Romans chapter 12, he said that we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. He said, let each exercise them accordingly. That is, each person has an ability, an inherent ability. Let me say this. This life is not an accident. There is a design. God has a purpose. And we must understand that God looks at life from a particular angle. That is the angle of trying to repair that which is wrong. So the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1 that the earth was without form and it was void, and darkness was upon the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. The summary of it was that God spoke a solution into existence. God said that he issued a word and things began to happen. Now if you read from John chapter 1, you see that the Bible says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now he now said in verse 14, and the Word became flesh, alright, and dwelt amongst us. That is, when God utters a word, some of the solutions that God utters has to come down physically to have effect as a human being. And Jesus came as an example for all of us to follow. And I want to say to you again, the problems of the earth, God packaged a solution inside each one of us. And that's why we became flesh and we are dwelling amongst men. Are you getting the point? Now, this is the way it is. You have the ability to solve a problem. That's what I'm saying. Listen, if you didn't have it, you would not be here. There is an ability. You were born with it. It comes to you naturally. You don't have to struggle. Now, you may train it. You understand my point? So that you become better. But there are things you know how to do, and other people don't know how to do. Let me say this. The world has a system of keeping people in perpetual poverty. I need to quickly say this. It's very important. God did not give us life so that we'll be serving somebody else all our lives. This is thing I want to say is very important. My wife was telling me something today. She was reading a book, Banker to the Poor, by Muhammad Yunus. And she got to a point, she said, people are wicked. I said, what did you see? She said that, actually she read something in which why that man rose up to do what he did was that a lot of women in Bangladesh, they were held in bondage to money lenders. A woman will go out, let me use Naira so that we can understand, and go and borrow 50 Naira in the morning so she can buy some raw materials to make a basket. But the deal is that the man lending her 50 Naira must buy the basket from her at a preset price of like 60 Naira. So she will weave the whole day. Having used 50 Naira to buy a basket, she will weave the whole day and sell it to the man who lent her the 50 Naira at the end of the day for 60 Naira. And that's the deal. She can't sell it to somebody else. Oh, I forgot to mention, the price in the market may be 150. That is, if she had her 50 Naira, she would have put in her labor and made 100 Naira on the 50 Naira at the end of the day and had more money for herself. So Mama Yunus rose up to solve that problem by lending money to the woman directly and breaking the power of the money lenders. Do you understand my point? Before then, these people were in perpetual poverty. The little they made, that 10, 20 Naira, was not even enough to feed them properly. How much more? Buy clothes for them. So they remained in poverty all their lives. And this man came with a simple solution. To just give the 50 Naira directly to the woman and let her sell the basket anyhow she liked and pay a tiny interest on the 50 Naira at the end of the month. That was a breakthrough for people. Now, what I'm bringing out is this. That bondage, all right, is so glaring. But a lot of us are in perpetual bondage like that, we don't realize. In fact, many people who are in freedom right now are begging that God should please send them into bondage in America. What I'm telling you is not a joke. You are in freedom. You don't have plenty, but you have plenty of freedom. But your friend comes home wearing the jeans he bought just last week, for your information, is only $15. You don't realize it. But it's shining in your eyes. Poverty mentality. You think it's enjoyed. Now, this is a structure. A friend of mine analyzed it, that some of these civilized countries that we are so crazy about, there's a system that's designed to keep people in poverty. What I mean is this. You want a TV? Fine, we'll give it to you. 72-inch plasma? Don't worry, come and collect. You pay us next year. Don't worry. You collect TV, collect clothes, collect jewelry, collect car, collect. Then start paying us bit by bit. You have entered into it. A friend of mine walked into a shop once in London. And it was checking some household materials. And the salesman was talking and explained that, look, this one we'll give you for this amount. You don't have to pay us till next year. The guy said, I never buy anything on credit. I want to use this thing. I'm going to pay you now. And the salesman looked at him and said, sir, you're very wise. I mean, this was a man trying to sell to him. Now, please, I'm just bringing out an issue here. So a lot of times people get into, you know, this kind of cycle of bondage, into poverty. They don't realize it because, you see, when Satan wants to collect something from you, he has to pay for it. He knows what he's doing. So what does he do? You've collected everything on credit so that every day you work, you are servicing debt. And this is the interesting part. You stop paying. Stop paying now. Your TV will vanish overnight. You won't believe it. And all the money you've paid is gone. The car you were driving, you know, all over the town, feeling very cool with yourself. You can't pay for, you miss one payment, miss the second one, somebody collects the car back, all the one you paid before, gone. Now you realize this, so you don't want to lose anything. This is the interesting part. You now start working. That is what is called slavery. You are in perpetual slavery. That's one way of keeping people in bondage. I said there was a time that white men came to Africa and took Africans as slaves by force. I said, now, they don't need to do that anymore. We offer ourselves, take me, put me in bondage, just give me a piece of bread. We do that. Now, again, that's another one. But there's one that is very, very common, and we don't realize it. There's a reason, I'm building up to something here. A man builds a company, which is very good. Let me explain something to you. I'm not saying people are evil when they are doing this. It's just a natural order of life. If you don't keep yourself in liberty, life will put you in bondage. Let me say that to you again. If you are not willing to pay the price to keep yourself in liberty, life will automatically put you in bondage. A man has built a company, he wants slaves. I mean, he doesn't realize it. He actually wants it. Because there's a spirit behind all of these things. When you go out to go and work, you ask yourself, what am I in? Am I a blessing? A young man in training? Or am I a slave for life? Hoping that somebody will give me pension after 35 years. And you wonder what went wrong with your pension. After you work for 30 years, there's nothing. The truth was that if you lent yourself out as a slave, it's very difficult to demand freedom later on. Let me explain something to you. As a young man, as a young woman, you must make up your mind. Whatever you are doing in life, you must not have that slavery mentality. What is a slavery mentality? I'll explain it to you. You're always looking for a job from which you can collect money. Men will give it to you. You will work for them all your life. By the time you wake up and realize that plenty pay is not necessarily prosperity, it will be too late for you to learn a trade. Now, I'm bringing out something here. God did not design in life that you should be a slave. And the key, I'm giving that one to you tonight. One of the major keys you use to keep yourself out of slavery is to identify where your grace is and start exercising it. Listen, when you go to a place where you don't have the grace, and because somebody is giving you money, you remain there for 30 years, you will be a perpetual slave. Look, there are different kinds of slaves. For your information, there are slaves that have plenty of money. There are slaves that have small. They are still slaves. In the house of Potiphar, Joseph was a slave. I don't know whether you are getting my point. And you now say, Pastor Bank, what's wrong with slavery? Listen, if you are a slave as a young boy, as a young girl, it's very good. There are times you learn the discipline of life under slavery. Yes, the Bible makes it clear. Even though you are the heir to a house, all right? And as a child, you don't differ much from a slave or a servant. But you see, we must learn, all right, to develop ourselves. I'm bringing out something. One major key that God gave us so that we will never enter into perpetual slavery is when we exercise our gifts. Let me explain something to you. That is the only thing that gives you independence in life. I was reading a journal a few days ago, and the man was talking about how he prepared for retirement. Or how to prepare for retirement. I'm one person that don't believe in preparing really, really to retire. You shouldn't ever get to a point in life when you will sit down, cross your leg, and do nothing. It's not a good thing. Alright? You should have phases in life. But please, on this earth, don't cross your leg and wake up in the morning, go back to the village causing trouble. These are the reasons why people don't live long. Do you get my point? Yes, you are retired and somebody's paying you pension. Do you follow what I'm saying? So the man was advising that 5 years is that before your retirement, you start doing a business. And I should be careful not to use your gratuity to start a new business because you are likely to lose the whole money. I said, this is sound advice. And people do that a lot because suddenly they realize that I've been working in the place for a long time. Now I'm about to leave and I don't have any other thing to do. So they now borrow money, take their gratuity and start a new business. And of course, they enter into trouble. They can't help it. Eventually, there will be problems. I read that and said, this is very wise counsel. But what did I get from it? I said, I'm not going to allow anybody to do that to me. I'm not going to work for anybody for 35 years and then one day just say, okay, now go and retire. When I'm not tired. Yes, so what do I do? Listen, we're going to get practical in these discussions. First, from the beginning, identify your gifts. I'm not saying don't work elsewhere. In fact, like I always say, one of the prerequisites for prosperity in life is that you must make somebody else rich first. Jacob must make Laban rich before he can build an inheritance for himself. There are a lot of young men who carry this into an extreme. I don't want to work for anybody. That's not sensible, really. Okay? You can't just make up him. I don't look, because there are things that other people can train you in while you work for them. That the fact that somebody disciplines you, all right, to get to work at 8 a.m. in the morning, there are some disciplines you can't learn at home. The reason why you wake up on time is because there is a demand upon you to get to certain places. You start as a young man, you understand my point, you start learning that. It stays with you so that when you are now your own boss, your brain has been conditioned to rise up at the appropriate time. A little sleep, a little slumber, the Bible says, he says, so shall your poverty come like an armed man. That is, God does not expect people to oversleep. And one of the disciplines, all right, one of the things that will help you discipline yourself to rise up on time is when you are accountable to somebody else. Please, listen, life has seasons. I need to just explain this. I'm saying many things, but I'm not bringing out a point. Even though I say identify your grace, identify where your grace flows, where your gift is. Don't forget, life has seasons. You know, one day a man came and said I should pray with him. I said, what? He said that God will open doors so he might go for trials internationally, that he's a footballer. I asked him a simple question. So I asked the man, have you gone to any of these local clubs? He said, Enyimba, right? Enyimba. Give me another one. Rangers. Good. All right? All these people. The other one, what's it? Aqua something. Aqua United. Have you gone to any of these people and they did not allow you to go for trial? That you are standing in front of me, that I should pray that God will open door, that you go for trial abroad. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. Go and ask the native judge. It doesn't work like that. Go and ask somebody who listen. That was not how it was. Ask Kanu Wanko. That was not how they got to where they got to. Are you getting my point? There was a time that they made a local league rich. Do you follow the point I'm making? Yes. Life has seasons. Life has seasons. A lot of people just jump out and want to stand on their own. A lot of them, they are afraid to be responsible to anybody. They don't want anybody. Look, listen. They have not learned the discipline of getting 1,000 naira and accounting for every dime. Now, this applies to everybody, including preachers. A lot of people who just get up and say, hey, I'm starting my own ministry. The truth is that they don't have any discipline. So they want to go to a place where nobody can tell them, sit here, get up, do this, do that. Listen. Life has stages. There's a stage in which that has to be done. Do you get my point? There's a stage in which you have to be accountable. Then when God has found you faithful, like Paul said, he said, when God found me faithful, then he committed to me a ministry. That is, then God now gives you your own opportunity. Then you now be a free man. Please, this thing I'm saying is very important. Because there's a balance to everything. I'm not saying don't go and take a job. I'm just saying that wherever you are, you have to look at the approach. In fact, that's why I like this man. I read that report by Robert Kiyosaki. All right? He says many things that are very, very sound, even looking at them from the Word of God. Very sound. That he walks to learn. That his rich father told him to walk to learn. So he walks in places. All he's doing all the while is being diligent so as to learn something from there. You know, I said something earlier. Stop going around looking for money from everything that you are doing. No. There are things you do. In fact, as if you listen to our series that time, creating the opportunities for prosperity, I explained that principle. That people say there are no jobs. I said there's nothing like that. If you define what a job is, there are jobs all the time. What's a job? The opportunity to use your skill, your gift, to impact somebody's life positively. It always exists. What does not always exist is plenty of money in return. So if you realize, listen to this, and you can use it in prayer. It is not possible for you to be doing what I'm saying. That is, using your gift, looking for the opportunity to use to bless somebody, and God will let you go hungry. It's not possible. The problem a lot of times, I'm saying many things, please try and learn from them. The problem a lot of times is that, you see, I said life has stages. God said, look, all you need now is good food, decent clothes, and a bed in a room you are sharing with somebody else. You don't need television. You don't need an expensive handset. What are you doing with gold? You don't need it yet. Car, what's your problem? You don't need a car. Where are you going? God looks at everything and says, you have been faithful, but I've given you everything that you need. No wonder Paul said, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. But when we don't have understanding, we exercise our gifts. God gives us the food. the decent clothing, the place to sleep, peace of mind. But then your friend comes and says, hey, but how far? Yeah, no, I just launched this Kia Picanto. Ah! Suddenly you feel like a failure. Meanwhile, all that God said is that right now, I am giving you everything that you need. I remember those days, I used to say, when people say that, Pastor Banker, come, you don't have a car. I say, it's obvious I don't need it yet. Because if I did, God would have brought it. That is, I think I want one. I actually think I need one. But God ruled that you don't need it yet. How do you know? Well, he hasn't brought it. Because indeed, he will supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I like the way David said it. He said, my eye is not haughty, neither is my heart proud. He said, I have not engaged myself in matters too difficult for me. How can you be earning over 1,000 of the cost of a car and you are saving up towards it? Look, listen, my friend. You will die before the car materializes. There's any car for 1 million. In a whole month, you cannot put 1,000 naira together and you're putting it aside. I remember when the guys will be gathering money, saving for months. Nigeria done better now. Those days, we save for 10 months to buy television. I say, what are we looking on the tube? I know they buy. I'm not buying. There's more good work to do in life than buying television. When I want to watch, I'll go and visit somebody who's rich. It's very simple. By the way, what am I doing watching television anyway? I'll read a book. I mean, that's what they call contentment. My friend will say, contentment is knowing your place in life and living like you are there. It doesn't mean you don't desire great things. But that's what the Bible means when it says, when the crop permits, he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. Things that won't come easy. Or, you get my point? The season hasn't come. The season hasn't come. Everybody say, marry, marry. And yes, you too, you have chased 10 women. All of them have refused. It's not. What can you do now? It's not as if you don't want to marry. Nobody has agreed to marry you yet. Just relax. The time will come. Now, are you getting what I'm going to explain? I use all of this to explain something that God doesn't ever fail anybody. The mistake is that a lot of times, all right, we think that he has failed us because we have refused to realize that this is not the season for some of the things we are desiring. That's why Paul said it clearly. Having food and raiment, let us be content. Do you get my point? So I was explaining something, you know, I went into all of that. Talking about the fact that, you see, life has seasons, okay? That though I said the key, all right, so as not to be a slave all your life, is to quickly locate where your grace lies and you start exercising it, all right? The reason is that the thing will continue to grow. Now, in the earlier stages, in fact, I said this is one of the ways you enjoy your life. This is how to be rich in life, enjoy yourself, all right? That you enjoy yourself while becoming rich in life. Do that you have the grace for and you are not struggling to do. If you wake up in the morning and say, oh God, it's Monday again, you are in the wrong job. Do you understand my point? Again, I'm not saying just get up and go and resign. Go and settle down and think. And locate what is the right thing for you to do. Do you follow the point I'm making there? But like I said, life has seasons. Locate what is your gift. And wherever you find yourself right now, realize there is a season. This is my opportunity to learn discipline. This is my opportunity to bless somebody in life so that God may bless me. Let me say something to us quickly about jobs. All right, talking about this job matter is very important. I said something earlier about sowing the right seeds. Talking about laying a spiritual foundation. You want to see a man who's going to be poor in life? Let me just give you a key. Just go to an office. Any person you see trying to sabotage his boss because it's not my business, that is, the business is not his own, go and check it. That guy can never be rich. No, listen. You work in an office and you are not consciously seeking the progress of that establishment. You are laying the foundation for poverty. You know, we're talking about foundation for prosperity, Abby. That's one foundation for poverty. The opposite, I should explain. If you work anywhere, no matter how things are, all right? Seek the prosperity of that place. You say, after how much are they paying me? But you are collecting it. There's a principle of covenant. Once they pay you, you have collected the money, you have spent it, you are committed to that place. If you can't stay there, oh boy, resign and walk away. And it's not an evil thing. If your conscience will not let you rest, get up and go. But as long as you are there, if you really want to be rich in life, I said it, You must seek. You see, let me say this principle to you again. Jacob will not prosper until he makes Laban prosper. It's a law of God. The prosperity of Joseph, God knew what he was doing. Everywhere Joseph went, he was helping somebody. What God was doing was to allow him sow seeds for his own prosperity. Do you get what I'm saying? If you find yourself anywhere, you're in an establishment, you're working in a particular place, you're even in a family, you are living with somebody, don't go and say, they have not locked the gate. Hey, that's their problem now. Is it my thing that thief will steal? When you talk like that, no problem. Oh, you know, Satan is very wicked. Satan, he's watching you. He say, there's another guy, let's kill him. Let's finish his prosperity. He's taking records of all the rubbish you are doing and saying. That's why you can't steal in an office. Listen, you're working somewhere, you're a thief. You're a thief. That's one. Only the devil can give you money. That is when I say that you have to die with the devil to have anything they call prosperity in life. And you know, devil, he will not kill you on top of it. But God's blessing, you will never find. You wake up in the morning, a man who is issuing you wages at the end of the month, you are now stealing from him so as to sabotage the business he's laboring to build. Oh boy, you are doomed. What am I saying? What's a job for? A job is not just where you get money. You know, I said something earlier. God supplies things to us through different methods. But we still have to acknowledge that he's the one, all right, giving them. So you may work somewhere and they pay you money, all right? And from that money, you are able to buy food, buy clothes, give to somebody else. Do you know, this is just by the way, even when I'm giving, I thank God that I can give. The other day, my TV spoiled at home. The one that my children used to watch, children's programs. So, it wasn't totally spoiled, but something happened to it. And I said, I'm tired of repairing this. Let me go and buy another one. I didn't buy a big TV, not an expensive TV. I just bought a TV. And I got home, they installed the thing, it was working. And I told my children, now, and my wife was there. I said, now, let us thank God for our new television. It wasn't an expensive TV. People are buying 70-something inch plasma TVs. All right? And I told my wife, look, I don't take this for granted. So, the job is giving you money with which you can buy food, buy TV if necessary. But it is not actually the job. It is God that is giving you those provisions. So what did he say? Seek first the kingdom of God. He said, don't labor for material things. Therefore, when I go to the office, I'm not laboring for promotion. Hear this clearly. The child of God is not allowed by God to go to an office to labor for promotion. He is not allowed to go to an office to curry the boss's favor. He is not allowed to seek what other people are seeking. What is he supposed to do? He's supposed to, in that job, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then every other thing will be added. What's a job, therefore? When a child of God steps into it, he looks at this another mission field. I don't mean a preaching field, though. If you preach as part of mission, God bless you, God increase you. But what I mean is that if what you are doing is welcoming clients, that's a mission. I don't mean, welcome, sir, God loves you. Do you know Jesus rose up on the third day for your sin? That's not what I'm saying. I just mean that you can lighten somebody's day by the way you receive the fellow. That clients keep coming back because of you and you are blessing your boss. Notice this. God said, do it as a service unto God. Not as man pleasers. You want to see a man who will fail in life? Look for every man pleaser you see. But he said, yes sir, yes sir. Everything, well, everything, yes sir, around the boss. Once the boss goes, his work may as well decay. They don't care. Why has this not been done? Start pointing fingers. Okay, you know, I've told you all these people. Start pointing everybody else. Actually, what he's trying to do is trying to take the blame away from him so that the boss will continue to like him. Don't just look at that fellow and start feeling sorry for him. This one, he won't go far in life. But the one that the boss does not even say thank you to, but he sits at home and is thinking about how to promote the business in the office where he's working. Listen to me. You know what you're actually doing when you do that? You are sowing the seed, the foundation for your tomorrow. That's what you are doing. Anyone you do there today, somebody's waiting to do it for you tomorrow. If you bless somebody today, what will happen tomorrow? God will send people to bless you. Favors will open. Doors will open. But if you are sabotaging the business today, don't worry. One day they will give you gratuity. Eh? Nothing spoil. You open a business, all the Judases that did not hang themselves with Jesus Christ will show up. One Judas after the other. Corrupting everything that you are doing. Why me? Why me? Why me? God say, what a man sweat. That shall he also reap. And the seeds are funny. They never show up in fruit as one. You sow one seed, he comes as 100. That is why you must always sow good seeds. Because whatever you sow, it will what? Multiply. It doesn't come back as one. So bad favors everywhere, bad luck everywhere, spoils. Oh, no worry. When your time comes, it will be multiplied. Therefore, it's a very simple thing. Let's continually do good. Listen, a time will come in your life, good will so follow you. You wonder what's going on. Did I hear an amen? That is, God will so bless you with good. People will just be showing you favor everywhere you turn. But listen, this is the season you sow those seeds. This is the season you put down the correct thing that will allow God have that excuse to pour a blessing upon you.
We trust that you were blessed by the message. More materials and information about Kingdom Word Ministries are freely obtainable when you visit us at kwm.com.ng or pastorbanky.com. We would like to hear from you on how much this production has blessed you. Please write us at mails@kwm.com.ng or PO Box 2273, Enugu, Nigeria.